See your blockchain, look at your metaverse, look
Yes,
at your
yes.
Web3, IoT or AI. There has been no regulation in place and it's almost been 4 years now.
It's very scary, which is why I think each one is on their own when it
Yeah.
comes to how much can be shared, how much of you is being captured by a brand.
Yeah.
But how much ever we try, something or the other is going to give it away.
Welcome, Abhijeet Keeney, to So What's Next? Today, we are going to speak about the future of marketing and advertising, and there's a lot of stuff that's out there but that we really don't know about. So, today, like to start off, I want to talk to you about data. What's the future of data that marketers will kind of use?
I think data is, like I keep saying, that people kind of give away everything, saying that they're just going to get that $10 more of a discount or like a freebie somewhere. There's so much that has been done with data, with targeting. The question is, how, I mean, where does this go from here? One really can't, we didn't expect this much usage of data till
Yeah.
date. So here on, I see it more and more intrusive. I think not just your location, they even know your statistics, your net worth, everything possible from every app that one can access. And it's just going to get more and more intrusive. There's not going to be any bit of.
So, like, personalized ads is a big thing, which is what data is being used for now, essentially. But apart from personalized ads, like, for example, on Netflix, when you see your personal recommendations popping up for movies or TV shows,
Correct.
whatever, that's just data being used for against you,
Correct.
whatever. So, that is already being done, right?
Correct.
Now, what apart from that do you think can happen with advertisers using
With
data?
advertisers using data, I think location is going to, be the thing that they're really going to tap into from here on.
Okay, why?
Because when we saw that being used in, say, an Uber or a food app, it used to take us by surprise. But I think more of delivery-based apps that are coming up, more of consumer products that are coming up, they stand to benefit more from location, I feel.
Location.
And I think more than anything else, where do you find your target audience is the big question right now,
Yeah.
right? So I think, going by the way we have seen these apps use location and your demographic apart, I think that is going to be the big thing in the future.
So if I was a B2C company selling a B2C product, how would I use data that's so vastly available that I can purchase it online as well?
See, we are looking at the death of retail stores,
Yeah.
right? So I think the whole game is about reaching the customer without them leaving to having to leave home, or just catch them unawares. Say they're at a shopping experience like a market or whatever, and they are not in the mood or position to buy anything, and you're still able to target where your target audience is. I think that is how it's going to happen.
Okay.
We had seen things like these in movies like, which one was that Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report,
Not
in
seen that.
which, yeah, that's again, I'm an 80s born guy, so most of these movies peaked when I was in college, I guess. But that movie had a lot of things that we see being used in social media and technologies today, including a sequence where there's a chase happening and Tom Cruise's character is running through a mall, and every kiosk he passes, the screen changes to show his face on some product that they are advertising.
Okay.
And you're seeing things like that happen now, right?
That's a big thing in Japan.
Yes, it is. And I think for that to reach a much more wider audience, location will play a big part. To people like us who saw that film and are seeing a lot of it like touch screens. I'm talking about this film which came out in 2001, maybe 2002. I'm not sure about the exact release date. It's been 20 odd years, and we're seeing all this happen right now. Touch screens, personalized messaging, targeting through location is what it showed. So many things in that, right? So I think all the sci-fi that we've been fed
Which
is
kind of
actually coming
turned into
true. Yeah,
reality,
Back to the
yeah.
Future movies showed a lot of it,
Yeah.
which is a fact today,
What
right? And I think this is how, more than who you are, I think where you are is now the next big thing. And I think more and more of these apps that we are consuming, more and more of the services that we are using, I'm seeing a lot of that look for where you are more than anything else. At least that's just me.
Yeah,
Maybe it's just my paranoia as well.
that's an interesting like take on it because the question like where you are is never really asked by people, how my location is actually being used for marketing.
If you look at it, apps that you think are not even connected to location specifically, like even
Like
ask, I can't take, I mean, I can't think of examples right now, but most of the times when I'm downloading new apps, I'm finding them accessing location. That permission is always there.
Yeah.
And I am always the guy who will switch off
Yeah, same.
access permissions. Obviously, everyone needs to do that. But I'm wondering, why is this app asking for my location? It's not a delivery thing. It's not a photo thing where it gives you a photo tag. But what is it? Why is it using it? There must be something to it, right?
Right.
So I see that, and I think that is where it's going.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Second thing was that billboards are like a, I mean, people think of it as a dead thing today, but obviously nothing can just die automatically. And I feel billboards can be like revolutionized in a tech way, technological manner. So what do you think is the future there?
First things first, in India that we've seen the introduction or the actual permissions given to these video billboards today. It's actually very annoying. It doesn't use tech maybe, but it's definitely a change from what we've been used to. And we see a lot of innovations in that as well, where the picture might scroll some way that, you know, it looks like it's coming out of the screen. It's very distracting for motorists, that's for sure. But how that can be used, we've already seen examples in international campaigns where, you know, you make eye contact with a particular billboard. It's tracking you. It's tracking where you're looking. So basically, it's capturing your face, right? The moment you make eye contact with it, something there changes. Something on the billboard changes and it gives you feedback accordingly. So there was this one particular public service campaign voice out on domestic violence, where a very badly injured woman is looking at the audience. And the more people who look at the billboard, the more the scars go away. And in the end, she's like, thank you. You know, so what it's doing is it's tracking the commuters. I think it was at a railway station somewhere in Europe. And the more the people who are looking at it head on, the more it was saying that, you know, don't turn a blind eye to it.
Right.
This is an issue that we all have in society. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
But again, the use of tracking your face, capturing that data, raises another bunch
alarming
of questions. Yeah. So one way or another, there is no privacy
where,
anymore.
Where was this happening?
Somewhere in Europe. I think it was France.
Okay.
The way I remember it. This is on YouTube. You can look it up. I think it's called Domestic Violence Interactive Billboard, for lack of better specific words. But I think it was a brilliant campaign.
Yeah. It was, definitely.
And the way that they actually showed how those bruises go away, the way the character responds to your eye contact. You know, all these things matter so much. It's very real. Feels like you are contributing something to society in that way, where you're not turning a blind eye. But at the end of the day, it's an interactive billboard.
I'm actually very curious to know how are advertisers using this technology as well.
Well, I think something like photo apps might do very well here. And I'm pretty sure that someone out there is already doing it, right?
Is there a business model or a case study?
Not that I remember. This is the one that I know of, but there were more billboards like these, like bus shelter billboards, bus shelters.
Yeah.
Right? Pepsi Max, I think one of their extensions, they had done one in UK, in London, where if you're standing inside the bus stop and you're looking at one of the bus shelter walls from inside, it's actually a screen which is showing you what the camera is capturing outside it. Basically the same street, but it's showing some sort of AR animation on it.
Right.
So you're looking at the same sidewalk, but there's a tiger running towards you. There's an alien which is kind of flying down a flying saucer, and people just start, you know, thinking or just reacting to it, and it's just a funny reaction video, but it's a real campaign. So I think at the end of the day, engagement is the keyword here. The more people want to get engaged to whatever content they're seeing, how do you capture their attention? Because I think the whole game today is,
can I just put it in like simple words, if like attention is the big thing.
Yes.
So it's mostly finding out bizarre ways to capture people's attention.
Which is how cringe content also works.
Fair, yeah, true.
I think there's no better marketing than cringe, at least in India, right? I think cringe is what sells so much.
It does sell. And I mean, yeah, actually, if you look at the tier 2, tier 3 cities, I feel where cringe is sold the most. If I'm a brand and I'm actually doing like cringe content and these people follow me or watch my content or watch the brand's content, how many of them actually buy it? Because the perception plays a huge role when you're buying a thing, right?
But I think with that population percentage, it still might turn out to be a big number.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to take it as. Clearly, I'm not the target audience here, but I saw a cringe content creator talk about a betting app, a cricket betting app. I'm sure there are thousands of people who already downloaded it through that. You know, I'm not the target, but someone out there is.
Right.
So I think it's the thing about keeping an eye on who's doing what today.
Also, it's about opportunity cost. Or if you make cringe content versus if you do actual good content, what's the thing that you will gain?
It's sad, but cringe is what's winning the game.
Really?
I think so. Who's getting the more eyeballs, right? The girl who's doing the dance gigs on the road. I'm seeing that reel come up every single day. She's called the Indian road dancing girl or something. Man, the kind of views that she's got. And I put up a small animation clip which I put my khoon pasina in. Nobody would watch that. So, as an artist, as a creator, I think we all have that thing that, you know, cringe sells, and probably quality content nowadays is not something that people would want to share and make viral. I know this is just a frustrated artist talking about it, but somewhere down the line, I think it's working for cringe.
Creators. Definitely. No, I'm thinking actually, like, if you actually get the tech that's out there, or be it in terms of billboards, yeah, or bus stops, or whatever, you get it in India, the advertisers or the brands have access to it.
Yeah.
How are they actually going to use it for their benefit?
So as an Indian example, I think Cadbury's had, if I remember right, some years ago, had done a campaign where, you know, they had put up a big screen on that truck on Carter Road, and I think it was here in, on Linking Road as well. People could share their pictures, and it used to be, you know, flashed onto the ad on screen. I think it's a small bit of a high that people get by seeing their own face on an ad, you know, on a billboard. Yeah. And that attention as well is something that people want, right? You being part of what the brand is doing.
That's creative.
And yeah, that is. And I think people want to be seen. That's their 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
They'll do it. They'll share their data. They'll share their pictures that they won't care about.
I think any type of ad or the campaign that you create that gets people involved in it.
Yeah.
Be like, I think social experiments are the best way to kind of advertise or brand yourself in out there. Apart from that, obviously you have your people who are like cringe or brands who are cringe.
Correct,
but
correct.
What sets them apart from these kind of things are, like, for example, basic things like if you post a story on Instagram, right? If you tag three people, they will post it for you.
Correct.
So that just gets a virality factor going on, right?
Being part of something.
Yeah, being part of something. So if again you get these tech things out here, if brands use it like these things, then it makes a lot of sense.
Correct.
You know?
I think that's what they keep in mind is being immersive, engaging, and being part of the scene. That's what they want to get at.
Okay, now I want to divert the topic to social media a bit. I want to know, like, this is a question I've been having since quite a long time. What is the future of Instagram? Like, what's next after Instagram? And in a nutshell, what is the future of social media? Like, where does it go from here?
Because honestly, future of Instagram, I think it's becoming too big. I don't know for its own boots. But I'm just seeing that it's kind of taking in everything possible and becoming this one-stop shop for all kinds of content and marketing. I'm seeing subscription models begin now where you can pay and subscribe to a person's
broadcast channels.
Exactly. It's kind of like your, what are those platforms called? The crowdfunding ones. I don't know where you could.
Also a bit like Discord.
Discord, exactly.
Yeah.
There was that little bit of, and TikTok, we were talking about that before we started recording, but TikTok goes off from India, or probably just when TikTok starts its features, Instagram starts it. Snapchat did the filters, Instagram did it.
Yeah.
So they want to be the one-stop shop for everything.
Now they are coming up with shopping online, like on Instagram.
On Instagram, right? They also tried the NFT thing. You could use NFTs as your display pictures, and you can sell that as well, I believe. I don't think it started here in India, but I was aware of that being there, and I saw a lot of artists abroad show off their NFTs as their display pictures or whatever.
Okay.
They also have features where you can donate to charity via some particular handles. Of course, not here in India yet. But where else? What else can they do? They're doing it all.
So, you know, like, we spoke about iPhones as well, like how Apple rebrands itself. So once Apple reached the peak, every year they just come out with a phone in terms of rebranding. I feel Instagram has reached that peak. So now every year they kind of come up with new things to rebrand itself.
Correct. I think to make itself more relevant.
Yeah.
I don't think relevance is always a problem for them, but I think they want to just remind people that, hey, you know what? We are where innovation is.
So is it safe to say this is the, like, final stop?
I don't think. I think it'll still
nothing
have,
after Instagram.
I think it'll have some more features that they'll put in, and eventually every bubble bursts.
Yeah.
Eventually that's going to happen. And I mean, I don't know, unless humans become much more dumber than they are right now and keep consuming content which just has no start or end. I'm talking about the real culture here. I think it's a bubble. I think eventually.
When do you think it will break? Like, I think I give it 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
to be
I think
honest.
10 is something that even I would go with. But then. We didn't know 10 years ago where we would be with Instagram, right? Instagram was just a photo thing earlier. I say this because there have been a lot of platforms in the past that have built up to a certain level and then just went kaput.
Hmm.
One was our most favorite social media platform called Orkut, however you pronounce it. Remember how big it was? I don't know if y'all were too young during that time.
Yeah, we were too young.
That was probably me in my late 20s, maybe reconnecting with my school friends. But that just grew so big. You know, Google bought it and everyone's like, oh, Orkut is, and where is it today? It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be something which will come up in its place. I think Instagram may just have that in store for it.
Right. Okay. And what do you think is the future of social media?
also another bubble. But I think eventually it's all going to lead to more advertising, and I think less to do with connecting with people and more about brands.
But so if you see like so much advertising, don't you think the user will get tired of it and then pull out?
I'll give you a very simple example. We watch a cricket match or a sports event on TV. The kind of ads that we've been seeing have been the same ratio or even more today. There was a time in the 90s and 2000s, people said, hey, kya, you know, after every over, they have like three ads. Today we have six. The ads might be shorter, but now they have these, what do you call those? Breaks in the middle, 2 minute breaks, strategic timeouts. They'll do these things so that we see more ads. We have become so immune to it that we've stopped complaining also now.
You just ignore
it. So there's just never too much advertising. There'll always be more. And social media, they have everything going for them with you, right?
Yeah.
They know you inside out. They know you more than you know yourself.
Interesting
right?
perspective.
So eventually, I think this is just a bait right now that we've taken where we sell our soul. And in the end, we're just going to be sold products and products and products and less to do with connecting with people and say, hey, that's a lovely picture you put up. Nope.
So that's actually the rise of consumerism.
It is.
And I mean, I had done a podcast with a friend like 2-3 weeks ago, and we were speaking essentially about this only. Like how you have this clutter of products there online and how instead of ignoring it, people are just like buying it.
Yes.
Like when I ask my friend, I genuinely ask my friends, like, do you buy products on Instagram? Mm. Because I personally don't.
Achha.
A lot of them do. So that's actually the, I don't know, worst part, or I don't know if it's what part it is, but
it's definitely
there. Yeah, it's definitely out there.
I'll tell you what happened with me. I think this was COVID times that a lot of things that we saw on Instagram, we bought, at least for me.
Hmm.
I never used to buy much on Instagram, like the DMs for orders or anything.
Yeah.
But it's during those COVID days, I think Instagram and social media really peaked. Hmm. I mean, everyone was on it. Everyone thought that they are TV show hosts and having a live every single day, right? Everyone had a channel. And that's where we were buying stuff. And I think that they did not let go. So today they know more about you because you bought 10 things that time. They'll show you 20 more now.
Yeah.
So if we were just talking about a ratio of every fourth post is an ad, I see 2 years from now that every second post is an ad, and that one post you think is organic, that's AI.
Yeah.
So it's all fake.
Interesting. Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know, also like speaking of Instagram, now you have these like Ray-Ban Meta glasses out there.
Oh man, I heard of this.
And it's scary. So I'm losing my mind because these Ray-Ban glasses are basically right now launched this year, I think in June or July somewhere, or can record on a tip of your on a tap.
Correct.
It can record whatever you're seeing, and just by wearing those glasses, you can hear music. You don't need earphones or AirPods or something, you know. So that's the feature right now that they have, and in the future, obviously, they'll come up with newer versions and better tech. So, how is Zuckerberg going to integrate that with social media? It's something that I kind of go crazy with.
I think that your lens is going to be your screen, because anyway we tried. We had that with Google Glasses some years ago, which again did not work that time. I think it was too early
of its time. Now I think people are ready for that because they want to see newer things and stuff.
So your screen is going to be your lens. So whatever social media feed, you don't need to raise your phone and watch the content now. I mean, look at how lazy we are becoming now, right? There was a time we had to type things, we can speak into it. That's the most basic tech on a phone, right?
Your Twitter
and now
X.
And now you can just, I remember way back there was a show called Believe It or Not, Ripley's, I don't know what it was, but it showed one of the technologies that someone in the 50s had pitched was a clamp which used to be on top of your bed where you could hook your book and just sleep on your pillow and read the book. So you don't need to hold the book up. It looked ridiculous back then. But where we are headed right now, I think that is where it is. That you don't need to raise your phone from your pocket. You can watch the screen on your lens.
Yeah.
I'm sure Zuckerberg is being like this evil scientist somewhere just rubbing his hand saying, I'm going to rule the entire humanity or the human race. But that's what it is. We are a slave to technology. Your smart watches have reduced the number of times you need to pick your phone up and respond. Of course, it takes more tech out, more information out of you through other things. They know how much your heart beats also now. Imagine. Yeah. So I think eventually that Ray-Ban glasses or any of these wearable glasses that they'll come up with, lens is there, your voice, your microphone is on. So many times we see this creepy phenomenon ourselves, right? We speak something and we see an ad the next day, the next moment on Instagram. And we used to think, oh, it's some sort of sorcery. But clearly, we have given too many permissions.
Now, actually, that has gone much worse because if I'm speaking about something to you or with you, I'm going to see that piece of content
on
YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Some way, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, you are wearing a pair of spectacles, which knows you even more. They know where you're looking.
Yeah.
Now we know that there are particular glasses or cameras which track how the human eye goes through an article or a newspaper page or even a print ad. So they know that the top is, so they have some sort of, I don't know what they call it. It looks like a heat vision thing. I don't know. There must be a name to it.
So
by wearing those glasses, you're getting that data directly. This man is looking more at billboards here. This woman is driving through this road, so she sees these posters first. Imagine that then leads to more.
And you know, I have a like speculation, or not a speculation, actually, it's a true story. So the fact that brands are allowed to listen to whatever you're talking about, or whatever you're like recording or getting data through you, was actually something that was started by the American government itself.
Sure.
Because after 9/11, these guys wanted to like get a hold on what their citizens were doing, to get hold of sleeper cells and stuff, right?
Right.
So because of that, these guys started like listening to conversations that people were having, essentially governed by the CIA.
Sure.
Because of that, brands also started like eventually following that. Unfortunately, no regulation came into place, which is what's happening right now with your, after 2020, see all your trends, like see your blockchain, look at your metaverse, look at your Web3, IoT or AI. There has been no regulation in place, and it's almost been 4 years now. So with advent of technology, you'll have a bunch of things that will make you a slave to technology.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
You won't have anything that makes it regulated, which is the basic thing of a government, right, to protect the citizen.
It's very scary, which is why I think each one is on their own when it comes to how much can be shared, how much of you is being captured by a brand.
Yeah.
But how much ever we try, something or the other is going to give it away. I remember there was a hue and cry when CCTV cameras on the streets were a thing that, oh, you know what, the cops can track you or something. That's the least of everyone's concerns today.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
I mean,
nobody,
they better
have
those so that they know what crimes are happening. But
I think
the other things?
See, that basically it's driven by consumerism.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, I'm in my zone, I'm in looking at my social circle and everything, so I'm more bothered about what's trending, what's cool, what's happening right now. And essentially your media again comes in, plays its part with everything that's going on
100%.
In the world, so you become very much distracted with that to kind of give importance to things that are not going
correct
you know. So
agreed
that actually it's like a spiral effect that that's going on, and people are not like paying attention to it.
Well, attention is missing overall.
Yeah.
I think people just don't pay attention anymore, period.
Yeah.
To what, to where is a separate conversation. Which is why I think the brands want to make sure they have people looking at you at least for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is why your skip button on YouTube. They'll bombard you with everything important in those 5 seconds, then you skip it.
Hmm.
So I think capturing attention in the most bizarre way possible is the most effective thing today. Which is why things have gotten more weirder when it comes to content. You know, movies can be a little bit of a talking
point. What's the weirdest piece of content you've seen?
Content-wise, I can tell you this. There was an art piece sold. It was basically a banana which was taped with a silver, with a duct tape.
Okay.
That was art. And that was viral because they were like, it got sold for like $1 million, whatever. You know, those bizarre dollars that people spend on it. A banana which is taped with duct tape. Is art. Why was that done? Again, because we are in a time where people are going to share it.
Hmm.
It's going to be news. And I'm like, if that passes off as art in today's times, I don't know what.
Also, that reminds me of since 2016, 2017, whatever that's got hype is actually cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guy who kind of makes a cool product or a viral product is the guy who can actually get a hype, like good hype.
Yes.
And you can see that with creators abroad, like you know, look at your Logan Pauls and everyone of the world. These guys are good at creating hype of certain things, which is why they get the eyeballs, which is why they can make more money, and then again the spiral bounding effect happens. So once someone figures that part out of how to create hype in a world where everyone's so distracted, that is, I think, going to be a game changer.
I think hype and the kind of following that you build, because again, number of followers is also currency today for them, right?
Yeah.
So hype into followers is revenue.
Yeah, agreed. And so now that brings me to, like, apart from this physical world, let's go to the virtual world, which is like the metaverse, because it's talked a lot about, and at least in the last 3-4 years, it has been like there have been ups and downs where people believed it, didn't believe it, now they've started to believe again. So what actually is happening in the metaverse right now, where like where is the development stage at, and how is marketing going to be so different from the real world
after the boom in the news that we saw? I mean, NFTs just came out of the blue somewhere in 2020. 2021, 22, I think it all died out.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Died out.
Now it's picking up again.
It's picking up, but I don't know how many of those people are still... I really have no idea right now.
I mean, I'm reading a lot about it since the last 1 month or two.
Okay.
So I can say like...
Acha.
It's coming.
But where it started off, and I think the first piece of big news that we saw was Daler Mehndi's Balle Balle Land. Daler Mehndi was the first guy to buy land
in the metaverse.
And we thought this sounds the most bizarre piece of news ever heard.
Yeah.
But turns out it was true.
Yeah.
And Balle Balle Land is what he called it. And we were like, how does this work? How does this not work? And we saw there were people selling art as a jigsaw puzzle where each bit was one NFT.
Yeah.
So you can just buy that piece and stick it and your name is there on it and you can sell it again. And people were just using, I think, being part of that early brigade. They were trying to be very creative with it. It's not like it's the first time I'd heard of something like that, because there was a website called Second Life, if I'm not mistaken, way back in 2006-07, which was a website where you can build your own personality online, like a virtual self, and have a house and have a whatever family. It was weird.
Wow.
And people used to be there on it. I remember a couple of people I have interacted with have shown me those avatars or whatever you call it. It was actually called Second Life. So when I heard of this, I was like, it's done on a small basis maybe that time, and they're bringing this back. Currently, I think the whole aspect with metaverse, right? I mean, they want to make sure that remains that one big company which brings everyone to the virtual side of life or whatever. But I think there's a long way to go before anything
definitely.
Will be,
because people need to get used to the like basic stuff here, tech driven world.
Correct.
Then they would switch there.
Correct. And in India, with crypto being in a very gray area right now, with the taxation
around the
so
world
high,
actually.
Huh. Plus the taxation was so high and everyone was like, oh, what do we do now? Blah, blah, blah. I think here it'll be a little bit of a chase for brands also to get into this domain. But the way I see it, and at least the way it looked back in 21, was everyone's going to be having their own virtual carnival of sorts happening, where brands can just advertise and say, hey, you know what, our event is happening in the metaverse, buy tickets and come. We have virtual bands playing, we have virtual food being sold. So imagine you have a hot dog on your screen, you can't bite into it, we can say it has nice mustard on it. I think that's what everyone would have wanted, a piece of that pie.
So is that going to be the future of marketing?
I think
also
so.
In
I
metaverse?
Think so, definitely. Because if you can say that you have an artwork, NFTs again, right, which costs gazillion dollars or pounds or whatever, I'm talking people here, it's a JPEG. Okay, I tried to get onto that bandwagon. I figured it's not for me, because one needs to be so interactive with that community. You need to buy stuff. Only then there's so much of stuff happening in it. I'm like, I'm not cut out for this. It's a JPEG at the end of the day. And if people can save a JPEG and say it costs like $1,000, well, you can always have that hot dog I was talking about.
What are the most bizarre things that you've seen, like, or you think can happen in metaverse? Because while you have your physical world events, that will obviously be replicated in the metaverse. But apart from that, imagine you have the freedom to do anything and everything.
I think someone like a food brand like Zomato or Swiggy, you know, if they have, there might be restaurants you might be too shy to enter because it's just too pricey and too premium. Maybe you have virtual versions of those restaurants you can just chill at and have virtual food. I don't know how that is going to transform into a culinary experience, but definitely will be a shareable and a much more social media friendly or a web, what, you know, virtual friendly experience that, oh man, I spend the evening at the most plush, nightclub.
Can it also be a thing where Tomorrowland is a like thing in the metaverse?
Yes, now we're talking about it. Yes, absolutely. Why not, right?
Yeah.
And if you're looking at cosmetics, we were just talking Nykaa Land and all these other brands. If you're a cosmetics brand and we always want to talk about this is how you look, but this is how you might look if you use our products, and you show a completely transformed, something unbelievably transformed, something which looks like right out of a Disney movie transformed. This is you in our virtual world.
Yeah.
And people be like, man, I look good. As fake as it sounds,
yeah,
people buy this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, I know a lot of people would get
into
it.
They'll do it. Yeah, they'll do it. And that's where I feel we start losing touch with reality.
Yeah.
Right? All about the body positivity, be happy in your own skin, is going to go down the trash once all this comes in. And unfortunately, we are already seeing that happen with a lot of filter usage, with a lot of simulations or whatever they want to show your best version.
Mm.
In the virtual world, it'll be even more warped.
Mm.
And coming to music concerts, I think we are seeing a lot of these happen even now, like with bands like Gorillaz, who are already a virtual band, right? They don't have, I mean, Damon Albarn is the singer and I think the producer as well, but there is no band. They have those animated avatars who perform. Kiss, the band, also yesterday, I think day before yesterday, I read in the papers that they have launched their own virtual versions, right? I believe they will not be touring anymore, and it'll be the virtual band which will be doing the concerts, is what I believe. And if that is how it's going to go, I think,
I think if these bands are kind of doing it, that means that there are obviously a lot of people who've adopted to the metaverse already.
I don't know if this is metaverse or like a live concert with a screen showing animated, because Gorillaz is that. Right? It's a screen with animated band playing. But to convert that into a metaverse
wouldn't be a big
change, because to them the content remains the same. But to an audience sitting in India,
the experience
I'll be there in a Gorillaz concert somewhere on the metaverse.
Interesting.
And I'll get the actual experience because they anyway are virtual.
To sum it up, is this all like the future of advertising and marketing? Because it's pretty scary, to be honest.
It is scary. And I always say this, that the more we get fascinated with all this, the more we have to be ready with the fact that we lose touch with reality.
Yeah. Because, the World Economic Forum or someone just, and they said that in 2030, there will be no privacy, there will be no, ownership, personal ownership that you would have of things.
Wow.
So, and it's actually like a statement that they have given out. Yeah, it's
music is that.
Yeah.
You don't own
you
the
don't
CD
own the
anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You stream it.
So, and imagine that being kind of led into every part of your life, where it's not actually controlled by the government. So it's not communism of some sorts, but it's actually very different.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of anarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's where we are headed. And I think we have to make some sort of we have to be ready.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be coming our way, and we have to take measures to keep a balance.
How do you do that? Like,
I think first things first, never lose touch with
reality
and who you are. You know, there's always going to be a virtual version who you can create as better than you, but you have to be sure that it's virtual and you're not, right? But I don't know how to explain this. It's just going to be a very, very strange. And which is every single time I see these, it's all those sci-fi movies which come back to me.
So on that dark note, I would like to give people something to think about or take away. But those were all the topics that I wanted to talk about. You pretty much summed it up. So thank you for coming here. Thank you for being a part of the show. And I had a great conversation.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a fun conversation. And I hope we keep being rooted to reality, and we always have a nice thing to look forward to.